Take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to John's Gospel and chapter number 11. Good to be back in the house of the Lord, and good to want to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Certainly enjoyed the morning hour. Appreciate the privilege of being able to come back this year. This being the third year, I love to go back to churches to see how they've aged. Yeah. You've all done pretty well. I have just turned 66. Now, I know I don't look it. Thank you. Can't imagine that. But I will say this. I can do anything today that I could do when I was 16 years old. Think about that. But now I was a sorry 16-year-old. You was looking at me like you didn't believe it. And you could tell I didn't either. But I'm at the point at 66, I'm waiting on that big money to come in. That Social Security check. Wow. I might need to talk to some of you about it and see how much that is. Somebody asked me, said, you're going to retire? I said, well, from what I can tell them, what they're telling me, it wouldn't buy my gas. So I guess I'll just keep on preaching. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter number 11. I want to borrow five words that Jesus spoke here at the tomb of Lazarus. You know the backing of the story. It's a time of distress and heartache. Lazarus, who was Jesus' friend, whom Jesus loved, along with Mary and Martha, he has fallen sick. They have sent word to Jesus and asked him to come. He does, but it's on the fourth day. Lazarus is already dead and he is buried. And it is here that they stand by that tomb. And I notice what Jesus says in verse number 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. I want to preach tonight on work expectations. And think about those things that we expect and want God to do, His work. And then in turn, those things that God expects us to do in our work that He requires. I will couple two words together to help us through these thoughts of work expectation. It is the word expect and something. The word expect and something. Look at that text again, those five words. Put yourself here at this tomb now. Lazarus is dead. They're weeping, brokenhearted. Jesus himself weeps. And then Jesus turns to you and says, take ye away the stone. Let's go down for a few moments into these thoughts of work expectation. The first thing that I would say to you is expect that if you want God to do something, He may ask you to do something first. You might even have to hang around and do something last. Loose Him and let Him go. They're wanting Jesus to come. They want Him to come in a hurry. They want Him to come with a remedy. And they want Him to do something totally by Himself. But yet, little did they realize, and how alarmed that they must have been, that the initiating of the work of which they desired to be done, this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, was not going to start with him, but it was going to start with them. Truth of the matter is, God never works alone. He will always employ his saints, me and you. If he's going to split the Red Sea, Moses is going to have to raise the rod. If he is going to push the waters of Jordan down, the priests are going to have to step into the water. If the walls of Jericho are going to fall, the children of Israel are going to have to walk around it. He said that if you will ask first, I will give. If you will seek, then you will find. If you will knock, then it will be opened unto you. Jesus, yes, he can turn water into wine, but somebody's going to have to fill the water pots first. Yes, he can fill the nets with fish, but somebody's going to have to cast the net on the other side. Yes, he can and he will raise Lazarus from the dead, but first, you're going to have to roll or take the stone away. In other words, what God does for eternity is going to take up some of your time. What God does that is miraculous is going to involve the mundane and ordinary everyday events. As a matter of fact, everything that Jesus did involved humanity, his own humanity. Everything he touched with human hands. Everything he saw with human eyes. Everything he spoke with a human voice. Everything he heard with human ears. He now has ascended to the right hand of the Father, but yet there's much work to be done. And he still works through the human. He still works through the natural. And can I say to you that everywhere there are stones holding situations and people in darkness. The darkness of lifelessness, the darkness of sinfulness, the darkness of hopelessness, drugs, opioids, alcohol. Someone is going to have to first take the stone away. Someone's going to have to put the physical into it. Somebody's going to have to grunt and push and sweat. Somebody's going to have to get the business in moving this stone. There is a part you will play in every divine miracle. He will begin with you and I. If we want him and expect him to do something, he will also first expect us to do something. Someone may have to move the stone by prayer. Someone may have to move the stone by faithfulness, living before others. Someone may have to move the stone by loving those that are unlovable. Someone will have to and may have to move the stone by giving. Someone's going to have to push. Someone's going to have to shove. The Lord is going to employ his saints, as I say. Expect, children, and we're in 2020. Expect, and there will be much that we will need God to do in a divine sense. But expect that if you want him to do something, he may ask you to do something first. He may pull you into that miracle and let you be a part of the miracle. But hey, children, if you've never been a part of a miracle, how can you know that there are miracles? This is why he says to them, hey, they're amazed that, I'll tell you, the turning of this event hinges upon not what he does, but what they do first. Did I tell you? Take ye the stone away. What is he asking you to do first? The second thing I would say to you in this matter of work expectations, expect something. Here's the thrill of it all as they stand before that tomb with the stone over it. that which stands between them and a miracle. Expect that if he does ask you to do something, if he comes to you and says to you, hey, here's what I want you to do. Now, don't get all uptight about it. Don't become all frustrated. Don't go to asking, why don't you ask somebody else to do this? Just understand that in your life, expect that if he is asking you to do something, he's got something in mind he's going to do. And don't we want God to do something? And good news, the something that he does, the something that you do will be so minute, so small and little compared to the great thing that he's going to do. Hey, if you get the stone out of the way, I'll raise the dead. Well, isn't that what we want? The dead rose. We can't do that. We cannot give life, but we can push a stone. Any one of us, if he ever tells you to do something, it'll be something you can do. So he will do that which you cannot do. Hunker down, push, and pray, and love, and forgive. Melt the stone. Now, you're not going to do a miracle in moving the stone. You're just making way for a miracle. No man has ever performed a miracle. I don't care what they say on the TV. Moses did not perform a miracle. God split the Red Sea. He just raised the rod. It was not Elijah that created the rain. He simply prayed and God sent the rain. These are divine miracles, but they're made way for because God engages us. He wants us. As a matter of fact, this is a command. If you want me to do something, you'll have to do something first. But if you'll do it first by faith, I'll do something. I will change that heart. I will raise that dead. I will give light and life to that son or that daughter. I will move with my spirit and do what is impossible. I will do the heavenly if you will do the earthly. Work expectations. Expect that if you want him to do something, he may ask you to do something first and last. But expect that if he does ask you to do something, hang on, hallelujah. Get the stone out of the way. He's going to do something. Let us be faithful. Let us continue. Let us preach. Let us pray. Let us love. Let us forgive. Let us push those stones, believing that God's going to do miracles. You can always tell how long they want you to preach by how much water they give you. Just joking. You see, if we're not willing to do something, he may do nothing. And it may be that's the reason why nothing's being done. Somebody said, oh, but if they don't move that stone, it's no sweat. He can move the stone himself. But will he? The Bible said he went into his own town, Nazareth, but he could do no, listen to this, the Son of God could do no miracles because of their unbelief. What I preach on this morning, no, they were living in the land and no, honey, there's no miracles where there is no one who is willing to, by faith, obey and do what God asked them to do. If you're not willing to do, if you're not going to do something, he may not do anything. Had they refused to move that stone, and they could have had a lot of excuses. Jesus, we got to vote on this. We've not had a committee meeting about moving the stone. And is it legal? We don't even know if that's legal. We may have to go through before the count. And matter of fact, Jesus, it ain't never been done in this graveyard before. But if they do not move the stone, it could be Lazarus would yet be laying in that grave. We don't know. But we don't have to worry about it because the Bible said they hunkered down and moved the stone, honey. Do what it tells you to do so he can do what you want him to do. I'll tell you something else right there before I move on to my next thought. Expect that if he don't ever ask you to do something, something's bad wrong. If you don't hear his voice and he's not speaking to you, you say, well, I've been saved 30 years, never asked me to do anything. You sure you're saved?
That's all right.
Huh? Take ye, aren't you glad for the times when he's employed you and said, I want you to pray for this one. I want you to give to this cause. I want you to love this individual. I want you to visit them. I want you to do. Expect that if you want him to do something, he may ask you to do something first. But expect that if he asks you to do something, it's something big he's going to do. Hallelujah. And then for my third thought, I'm talking about work expectation. What we expect him to do, what he expects us to do. Expecting something. I would say to you thirdly, expect that the something he asks you to do, and what did he ask them to do? Take the stone away. Now later on he said, loose him and let him go. But let's stick with the stone at this point in time. Expect that the something he tells you to do will be all of the something you're expected to do. Now, I can look on your faces and see I lost you right there. But what I want you to understand is he has given them the job, the command, yes, to roll the stone away. They can do that. But don't get to be playing spiritual and go beyond that.
That's all right.
You'll make a fool of yourself. Are you understand what I'm saying? Roll the stone away and leave the rest up to him. In other words, don't roll the stone away and run in there and grab poor Lazarus by the ankle and get to pulling him out of there. Trying to help Jesus out or jumping on top of him, trying to give him artificial respiration or something of that nature. No, that's not your business. That's divine business. I have to understand that as a preacher, that my calling is to move in moving a stone is simply to come and preach what God has put on my heart. But I have no hope that I have the ability to save one individual, to lift one burden, or even comfort one heart. The rest of that's up to God. And I'm glad it's not on my shoulders. He didn't put you in charge just because he asked you to move the stone.
That's right.
Don't go unloosing him and then go commanding him how to walk. Now, Lazarus, here, I want you to know you're not walking like me. Walk here, walk like this. No. You're going to have to practice. No, all of that's up to the one who raised him and put life in him, not up to us. I'm glad I didn't come with a charge and a command to do anything but tell you what he has told me. And expect that that may roll a stone, but he'll give the life. Now, understand what I'm saying. And I'll tell you what, bless God, I pushed the stone away. I ought to have a say-so on. No, you ain't got no say-so beyond moving the stone.
Yes, sir.
Huh? And the last thing you want to do is start a stone-rolling movement, ministry. You know how folks are. One stone's out there, man, I'm going to get me a bus and put my name on the side. I'm going to get a crowd together. We're going to start a ministry of moving stones. He didn't tell you to move stones, plural. He said, move the stone. You go out and say, well, I'm just going to move every stone in this. Go ahead, and you're going to leave a lot of dead bodies in there stinking, because that's not what he said to do. Move the stones. All you can do, move it. Amen. I wasn't raised in religious circles. I didn't have no religion when I got saved, and I've got more now than I like. But I remember when they preached the gospel, they said, if you get saved, you'll be set free. I said, well, I like that. And I got saved. And the first thing a Baptist did was went over in the closet and got a bunch of chains and started rattling them around me. Now, you can't watch out and get, hey, can't make it. I said, I thought y'all said you'd set me free. Right. You're binding me down. Don't bind poor Lazarus down. Jesus is setting him free. He'll take care of him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Expect that if you want him to do something, he may ask you to do something first. Expect that if he asks you to do something, he's got something greater that he's going to do. And expect that the something he asks you to do is all the something you need to do. And aren't you glad of that? You raise those children for the Lord and roll those stones, move those stones as you go along. But honey, God will have to get in the heart. God will have to get in the heart. Work expectations. So, let me say to you fourthly. I'm talking about what we expect from him, but what he... How shocked they were standing waiting on him to do everything. And he said, boys, you're going to have to do something first. Roll, take the stone away. Let me say to you, fourthly, in this matter of work expectations, expect that the something he asks you to do is never about the something. But it's about the someone who asks you to do something. We're not going to make a monument out of this stone. Preserve it so everybody can come bow before the stone that was rolled away. We're not going to put a plaque on it with all your names and my name so everybody will know who rolled the stone away. Matter of fact, nobody's going to know the something you did unless God reveals that something in heaven, because we don't even have the names of those that did this something. There's no Bill or John. Somebody said, well, I figured Peter probably is. I don't know who rolled that stone away, but I don't care. It's not about you and I getting flattered and patted on the back about the something we do. It's about doing what God wants us to do. And to expect. Listen to me now. Expect. It's not about it's the rolling of the, what he is asking, the something he's asking them to do is not about the something that they're doing. Now buckle your seatbelt. Get a hold of this. It's not about the stone. Hey, it's not about them. It's not even about Lazarus. It's not even about raising Lazarus from the dead. Because if that's as far as it goes, there's nothing at it. You say, well, what's it about? Expect that the something he asks you to do is not about the something, but it's about the someone who asks you to do something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The greatest word spoke in John chapter number 11 is not Lazarus. It's not. It is not Lazarus, come forth. Not the greatest word spoken. You say, what are the greatest words? I am the resurrection and the life. See, the whole reason why he told them to do something is so he could reveal himself, the one who told them to do something. It's all about Jesus, honey. The work that he tells you to do, the work he gets involved in, and the thing he does is all about you finding out more about who he is. Amen. Now, there were some fellows in those days that did not believe in the resurrection, the Sadducees. Someone said that's why they were sad, you see. But you don't want to go to these boys that moved this stone and try to tell them, I don't even believe in the resurrection. Man, are you crazy? You don't believe in the resurrection? We were there, and we met the resurrection and the resurrector, the Christ who is able to raise one from the dead. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's about him. It's a revelation. And in every work, whether it is here at the tomb of which he becomes so boldly the resurrector, in everything he tells you to do, in the details of him telling you to do that, what he is doing is revealing more of who he is in your life. He came to me one day as a pastor, had pastored 22 years, and said, "I want you to go on evangelism." That's the last thing on earth I wanted to do. I figured I'd have to get a sign and stand on the side of the road that says, "We'll preach for food." I said, "Lord, I can't preach good enough to stay busy. I'm not that good of a preacher." He said, "I know it. But I won't tell them. But if you'll just step out and follow me, I'll show you that I am the God that can provide. And I want you to know, for 21 years, look at me. He's been providing. I found out he's more than enough. Through the little thing he told me to do, he's been able to do some big things." Woo. Are y'all getting this? Expect. If you want him to do something, he may expect you to do something first. But if he does, he's got something he's going to do. But I want to move on. And I want to say that the something he asks you to do, I'm going back to the five words. Take who? Ye. He didn't say, "Boys, get out of the way. I'm going to move the stone." Could he have? "Take ye away the stone." Here's what I want you to understand. Expect that the something he asks you to do will never stop doing something. The work that he does is always an eternal work. The way that you'll know that it's God's work is that it keeps on working. Any work of God is not just for a certain time. It keeps on working. He created the sun and it keeps on shining. But he put within you this salvation that just keeps on working. And expect that the work he asks you to do is for time and eternity. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about this stone that they took away, or this stone they rolled away, however they got it away. It's still rolling and moving in this hour. You say, "Well, how do you know?" 22,000 years ago, they moved that stone. And here I am tonight, 2,000 years later, standing in a Baptist church preaching about the stone that was rolled away. They didn't know then that I'd be talking about it now. But honey, it's still moving. And a Lazarus came forth out of the grave. But I want you to know how many others have come forth out of the grave because somebody preached this truth about Lazarus, the stone. It began with the stone moving. And thank God, here comes Lazarus out of the grave. And he is the resurrector. And when a sinner heard that, he hit the altar and said, "Oh, I want to believe in this Christ. And this Son of God that can raise the dead." It's still rolling. It's still rolling. Well, let me say it this way. If you've got light and life, the preacher that preached preached the gospel to me the first time, and I got saved. You know what happened? God used him to roll the stone away. So light and life could shine in. But that didn't begin with him. There was a time in his life when he was in darkness, and some mama, some daddy, some brother, some sister, some preacher, someone on the job witnessed to him and prayed for him and rolled the stone away. But it didn't stop right there. I mean, it had to go. I mean, this thing of rolling stones, I mean, everybody that's had a stone rolled was rolled by somebody else that had a stone rolled. There's nobody sitting here tonight. How many of you would say, preacher, I've got light and life. I know the Lord Jesus. Raise your hand. Not a one of you rolled your own stone of darkness. Somebody rolled it for you. It just keeps on rolling, 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 rolling. And honey, I'm hoping God will use us to roll some more stones off some more darkness and give light. I was preaching Alabama into the service, standing at the back, saying our pleasantries as those who left or exited. After the service, a gentleman who told me he was 82 years old was standing there, so we began to converse, and I often just ask for conversation's sake and interested, or you live close to the church from around here? And he said, well, actually, I live just a few miles from here. I said, you've been coming to this church for a long time? He said, well, I got saved right up there. He pointed about in this direction when I was 69 years old. I was interested in that, and he kept on talking, and I didn't stop him. He said, I was driving along the road one day, and he said, I wasn't a churchgoer, and didn't have much to do with church at all. He said, my hobby was antiques. Said, I loved any kind of old antiques, always in searching and swapping and trading and buying. And some of you are sitting here tonight probably. And he said, I looked up on the hill when I was driving, and he said, I saw two old antique wagon wheels standing up on each side of the driveway of this house. He said, I swung right up in there. My wife said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to see if he'll sell them wagon wheels. I got to have them. He said, I pulled in, I stopped, the man came out, and we conversed a little bit, and he said, can I help you? I said, yeah, would you sell me those two wagon wheels? Just name the price, I want them. He said, well, let me ask you something. I'm talking about rolling a stone away. He said, okay. He said, you go to church anywhere? No, sir, I don't, be honest with you. He said, I tell you what, if you'll come to church Sunday morning, you can have the two wagon wheels. I've checked the prices of them. I don't really know how to categorize them, but anywhere from $150 to $300 for a wagon wheel. And he said, when he said that to me, I just stuttered. I didn't know how to answer. I was caught by the surprise. He said, but I don't go to church. Said, I jumped in the car and drove back out, and my wife was in the car said, well, or is he going to sell them, or what you going to do? He said, no, he wants to give them to me. She said, give them to you, go get them. Said, no, he wants me to go to church. She said, well, you're old pagan, it ain't going to hurt you to go to church one time. Said, she convinced me I wanted them so bad. Said, I wanted them so bad, I pulled back up in there and said, sir, are you serious? You're going to give me these wagon wheels? He said, you got them if you come to church Sunday morning. He said, I went to church that morning just for two wagon wheels. He said, I sat back here in the back. He pointed the place. Said, the preacher got up and preached the gospel. He said, halfway through it, I was so bad under conviction, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't wait for him to shut up. I was the first one down the aisle and hit the altar and said, when I got up, my wife was on the other side and she got saved too. Well, I'm going to ask you something. What did Jesus say the price of a soul is? It's worth more than all the world. Didn't that what he said? A price of a soul. So you got two souls there for a couple of wagon wheels. That's pretty good, ain't it? Huh? Amen. But that ain't the end of it. That old man stood there, tears started welling up and pouring down. He said, you know, preacher, a year or two after that, we had a missionary come through and said what he would do is try to get churches to organize and put together Gospels of John in different languages and mail them out around the world. And said, the Lord put it on my heart. And he said, to this day, this little church has put together over 1 million Gospels of John and sent them around the world. I said, woo, you talking about a rolling stone. Woo. It began with two wagon wheels that a man's willing to give up to roll a stone of darkness away from a man's heart. Two souls got saved, and you got over 1 million Gospels of John, and who knows how many might have believed on Christ. We won't know till we get to heaven. It just keeps on rolling. But aren't you glad and thankful for the one that God allowed to roll your stone away? How many of you know who it was that was employed to roll your stone away? Raise your hand. Look across the building there. There's just something special about being able to roll a stone. And there's something special about knowing the one that God used to help roll a stone away. Now let's get this and I close. Can you imagine them now? Take, I don't know what that means for you and me at times, but God will point it out. Take ye the stone away. And here they go. All right, get a hold there. Get to pushing that. No, get the bottom. I got the top. Get there in the middle. All right, ready. You're going to pull on the other side. All right. Man, this is a tough. Somebody said, how long does it take to roll a stone away? Move a stone. As long as it takes. Huh? Just don't quit. Huh? So I've been praying 10 years. Don't quit. Don't quit. I prayed for a brother 30-something years, and he got saved. Don't quit. So this may take all day. Well, just think of what's in there and what Jesus is going to do. Huh? Don't give up. Push. Sweat a little bit. Put your back into it. Oh, ooh, man. I've been doing this so long. I've been pushing. I've been pulling. Oh, keep on, keep on. And they're pushing, 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 pushing. And finally, a little bit of light. He's in there. Ain't no movement, but he's in there. Man, I seem pretty good now. There he is. Hey, Lazarus. Shut up, dummy. He's dead. He can't speak yet. And then finally, there it is. And then Jesus stands and says, Lazarus, come forth. Woo! You talking about having the time. And boy, is it moved the stone. Now his head is wrapped. He can't see, but he can hear. And can you hear them old boys? They're grunting, saying, man, alive. You know how your husband is, wives. Oh, that hurt, man. I don't know. I may have to go to a chiropractor. And I can hear Lazarus saying, Bill, is that you? Yeah, it is. So what are you doing here? I just rolled your stone away. Hallelujah. Isn't that mama? Isn't that daddy? Isn't that brother? Isn't that sister? Isn't that preacher? Isn't that man of God? Aren't those that God used? And you that God is using to roll somebody's. Now just expect. Might as well expect it. If he goes to working, doing something, he's going to have you doing something. But don't you want to be a part of what he's doing? Let's stand. Could be tonight that you know someone that's in darkness, locked up in their sinful condition. And if anybody ever needed the light, they do. That the Lord would allow you to pray for them, allow you to love them, and allow you to minister to them. And it could be there's somebody close by you that has done that for you. And rolled the stone away. It might do you good to let them know how much you appreciate the labor of rolling a stone away. While they come to the instruments, you be obedient for whatever the Lord would have you to do tonight. Take. Ye the stone away. Come here, preacher.
Just mind him. Simple instructions. I don't know what your stone is. But I got a pretty good idea you do. You know what's between you and light and life? You know. Go just mind it. I think I'm safe in saying this. There's never been what we call revival without somebody moving some stones. We talk about the revival and the great revival and the movement of God. We wouldn't be able to talk about any of that had somebody not moved a stone. Where's yours at? Where's yours at? Some are praying. Y'all just mind the Lord tonight. Now, if he ain't told you to do a thing, you don't need to do a thing. But if he's told you to do something, why are you standing where you're standing? Why are you letting a stone keep you from God's yes? Amen, Miss Mary. Amen, Miss Mary. You don't have any stones that need moving tonight. There are others around here that do. Y'all pray for them. Brother Brian, won't you just come? Let's sing a little bit of that while she plays. Now, if you think I've been over here for 10 or 12 hours a day for the last month getting things physically looking good, I'm going to rush through these services. You got another thing coming. Oh my. What's new carpet, new paint, new pews, new hymnals? If our lives are shoddy, if stones are in the way, all this new stuff, all that old stuff got moved away, rolled away before anything new could be laid down, put down. Sing it, Brother Brian. You ought to mind the Lord tonight.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Interested in the Savior passing by, because he's liable to say, take away the stone. In fact, I know Baptists good enough to know a lot of Baptists like stones. You can hide behind a stone. Just keep singing, Brian. But oh, the yeses. The yeses that are stones away.
While all others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Sing it now, sing it now.
Say,
I'm not going to preach. Can't add nothing, and nothing needs adding. But you know, they'd looked at that stone for a good long while. And they'd already decided they was going to have to live with it. They'd already decided they needed to live with it. Because when he said, take away the stone, now Lord, he said, no Lord, no Lord. But the Lord knew what he was going to do and wanted to do, amen. I promise you, if he puts his finger on something, it needs moving. Hallelujah. It's been a great day. A great day down in God's house. What preaching, what truth we've heard. I encourage you, between now and service time tomorrow night, slip away, steal away, pray, gather some wood, throw it on the fire. I mean, we're going to say, man, look how much wood we got. You can freeze to death. You can freeze to death with cordwood stacked all up. Oh my. Don't you appreciate this preacher? If you're visiting with us tonight, we've been honored to have you in the Lord's house. Go a praying, come back a praying. Hallelujah. Move the stones from your heart, from your soul. Amen, preacher.